facilitating people in their personal growth, Janaki Thomas is a certified professional counselor, psychologist, NLP associate coach and practitioner, and a breath mindfulness coach with an experience spanning over 18 plus years. She has advanced skill in the use of proactive and creative strategies appropriate to working with children, adolescents, teenagers, and adults. She offers training to workshops to various professionals like teachers and executives in the field of life skills, emotion, and conflict management. She has a blog about intrinsic change people make in their lives called Live in Love and Light. Her goal is to empower individuals and organizations to achieve their potential and make the impact they want to in their lives. So I welcome you, Janaki, on our podcast Towards Tomorrow. It's been a pleasure meeting you for the previous interview and as well as now.
Thank you so much, Komal. I just loved it when you called me back. Thank you so much.
So before we begin, just tell us how was your day? How's your morning been going on?
You have chosen a fantastic day to interview me. I cannot be anything less than, a 10 on 10. Today is Janmashtami here being celebrated in India, and it's a very nice festive occasion. Today it's nice. It's wonderful. I think I have a blessed life. And may everyone have it.
It's an auspicious day to record this podcast
I think you just chose so wisely. Thank you.
as well. So, to tell us more about you to the audience, so since how long have you been in this field of coaching and what is your niche specifically?
So, I started my coaching journey. It's been about over 2 decades, over 20 years actually, that I've been in this field. So I started in a different way. I did not start with mainstream coaching. I started with spiritual coaching first, and spiritual counseling. I worked with Pyramid Valley International for over a decade, and I would host their, they have this yearly global festival of spiritual scientists where they would invite 10 different masters from all over the world and who would present their lifetime work, and I would be hosting that and figuring out how which part would go into our which magazines, because they have their international thing. Their magazines and their websites are published in 20 different languages all over the world, right? So that gave me a lot of exposure towards, what kind of support is needed by people all over the world. Because these are the people who would come and present research in different age groups, wherever they are, in whichever part of the globe that they have been. But later, I realized that there's a more technical handle required when you want to help people. Spirituality is not the answer all the time. You need to be ready with more hands-on techniques. If I'm depressed, what should I do? If I'm upset, what should I do? If I'm feeling like this, mood management, what do I need? So I went and I trained myself to be a counselor for teenager and young adults. And even that was not enough because teenage children move very quickly, and then parents need more support. The environment needs a lot of support. So that required family counseling and exposure in handling intimate personal violences of different kind, and boundary work and understanding how self-awareness can help. So yes, over 2 decades, and my niche, I would say, is relationship coaching. But give me one more minute. The reason why I think that a good counselor, a good coach needs to be a generalist and not a specialist is because you don't know what the client is going to bring to the session, na, Kumar. If we are not ready to handle whatever you're bringing, and I need to check that off from my list before you come to the session to talk to me, how does that help you? So, yes, I like the umbrella of relationship coaching with self and with others.
That's really nice because most people, it's not just one thing that they come to you, but they have an umbrella of different issues that they talk to you about. And when you're talking about these mental health issues, so what are a few reasons that you have seen in your experience, mainly in teenagers, like what are the mental health issues that are raising in teenagers today?
Since you said mainly teenagers, but let me tell you, mental health issues are there's no age
For
right for it at
everyone,
all. It can be for many reasons. It can be genetics, it can be hormones, it can be life events, it can be self-awareness, it can be poor mood management, it can be poor boundaries. And the problem that has happened in the past 2 years is that, you know, we have what the industry calls the new normal in psychological parlance, new normal. That means, what is the new normal? Unprecedented school and college closures, right? Short notice, there's a loss of face-to-face support systems. The when you wanted it may not be there because you are in enforced isolation. Your routines are disrupted. There are more family problems because all the time you're together. Earlier, everyone would go out and do their own thing and come back and meet for some time. Now, all the time you're together, you know, we have faced that. Hopefully, we are coming out of that. But it is still there, enforced isolation. And anytime you test positive, you go back into isolation. So there is an increased fear and anxiety that comes from the stress, whether I'll be able to manage it or not. What will happen whether I'll go back or not? And this is not only in teenagers. I think they are also affected by parental depression. If parents don't get along with each other in the family, or if there are issues, that affects them. So there is a negative family environment, which can be, you know, some kind of substance abuse or personal abuse. You know, either you're drinking too much, smoking too much. I don't mean just drugs. I mean, so there is mistreatment of children. They are the first target if they are at home, because the power equation is not equal, no, between parents and children. So there is mistreatment because of family conflict. So there is loss of school, there is loss of sport, which really
physical activity,
physical activity, which generates the right hormones in to feel good and for a long period of time, and loss of supportive relationship from family and extended family and mentors, you know. So multiple reasons there, multiple reasons.
So when you are parenting a teen, so it comes with a lot of rules as well as a lot of conflicts, because teens get really rebellious in their teenage years and adolescent as well. So how do you put light? You have a lot to say on this, I guess. I hit the right nerve over here.
I don't know where to begin, honestly. But I would say that not only for teens, but for anybody, you know, for parenting as such, it follows two very simple rules. You know, and there are lots of complicated ones later, but two simple rules. The first one is to, whether we are able to set firm limits, you know, without repeated warnings, lectures, or threat, and if possible, without anger. Are we able to do that? Number two is, if there has been mistakes and breach of boundaries, if those limits have been broken, how do we solve the problem in loving ways? Because teenagers are actually dependent, you know, they are in between, they're adolescents, right? They're in between their childhood and adults. They are child, you know, the child part is not yet gone and adult part hasn't yet come. So they're in that cusp. Teenagers in that cusp, when they're moving towards that adulthood, they require a lot of patience, which has which really has been eroded by life events in the last 2 years. So parenting would require a lot of energy from parents. So I would encourage parenting to be brought in, you know, when you have the energy to deal with the problems. And how do parents have energy is through self-care. No, they have to first take care of themselves and be in a good headspace so that they can then share it with others in the family. So good self-care, assertive communication. Now, I cannot stress more on assertive communication, because, you know, even UNICEF lifts it in the list of 10 life skills, that assertive communication is one of them. So how to communicate that takes care of our need as well as the other person's need at the same time. We as a society need to learn it, you know, because somehow it's taken for granted that we can outshout our children anytime, or, you know, and not listen, tune out whenever they are whining or whatever it is. So how do we communicate in a more respectful manner? You know, that is needed. And also importance of consequences versus punishment. It's very, punishment becomes controlling, and that has different fallout versus consequences. If we can teach teenagers about consequences of their actions, they can think through whether they want it or they don't want it themselves. I think because they are at a time where they can think of consequences, they understand if they do something, there might be a consequence. Are we able to explain it in a manner so that they can choose whether they want the consequence or not? And hope that they fail a few times so that then you can come and set the limits properly for them again with the consequences.
With the consequences, So as you told about self-care, the parents should also follow routine for their self-care to keep their health in check. So how do you recommend them to like practice mindfulness or even meditation in their daily routine, not just of parents, but also for teenagers to solve mental health issues?
See, nice. Now you're asking me about mindfulness. You know, I cannot...
Slowly digging down everything.
Feel free to stop me if I talk too much about mindfulness, because the reason why mindfulness is a key, it's an easiest key available, because you can close your eyes and retreat within self wherever you are. You don't have to go anywhere for it. Why? I'll ask why and I'll come back to teens. The reason why is that, see, we have about 80,000 thoughts rushing through our brains every single day. 60 to 80,000 thoughts. And 90% of that is repetitive from what we are carrying from yesterday. So if we are lost in a loop of negative thoughts or stress or fear or anger or a difficulty of any kind, it will repeat. It's repeating. And we tend to believe at some point of the time, if we don't have the clarity that our feelings may not be facts, it only adds to the problem. So mindfulness is the technique, the key, the easiest path to make time for yourself. The moment you close your eyes, 80% input to our brain stops, right? And then other 20% is from our thoughts. And if we can anchor it to whatever it is that agrees with us, we can happily give ourselves slow down and give ourselves time. The moment we have more time, we have more choices. So if choices are made keeping consequences in mind more skillfully, perhaps, what does it lead to? It leads to the freedom of choice. You know, if we can understand the consequences of what we want to do, when we want to do, and we have solved the problem of any kind of management, you know. So, another thing is that we don't think very well when we are stressed. No, our brain gets confused. It's in certain, it's called the busy beta brain waves. Nowadays, we have technique where you can hook up an EEG to your brain and it can map the brain. You know, it's called electroencephalograph. So if we are stressed and we have anger, or we are depressed, or we are, you know, worried, our brains have a very hard time learning, doing, or making the right consequences, or even choosing properly, you know. It's under stress, right? So that is not the time that we can pay attention to whatever it is that's good for us. Especially teenage brain, it is a very, it's a time when even the hormones are raging. So teenage brain, there's a lot of activity, you know. So this is the time that a lot of their regular routines also goes for a toss because of hormonal change, you know. Like their sleep pattern goes for a toss, their eating pattern goes for a toss. They, lots of times they were good at something, they suddenly become slow, and again they catch up later because brain is going through a pruning. So mindfulness is a technique that can really help them, not only them, for everybody, but especially them, to figure out what is it that they actually want. Because all the time thoughts are raging, there are so many choices, their peers are doing something, they have to catch up with the social media, they're comparing their body image, their thoughts, their belief system with what is the world throwing at them. This is a time of overstimulated brain. So if they can find out a technique, if they can be taught a technique where they have a handle on their thoughts. But for that, I think the you know, the environment has to really be more supportive, you know, like you mentioned about parenting before that. I think parents have to model, because communication is so much more non-verbal than verbal, no?
Yeah.
So if you can practice what you want and not just talk about it, if you can practice what you preach, a lot of things would be easier. Or at least you would have tried. So parents can be in a very good place that they have done their best. And after that, you know, they have let the children evolve.
Yeah. So when we are talking about mindfulness, you also told that it will clear your mind up, so you are more decisive when it comes to your life as well as your career. So how will these counseling actually improve your decision-making skills? And if there is someone who would want to take counseling, so what is the right time for them to take this up?
So I think, you know, counseling, one thing, let me just clarify that counseling was a part of our ancient heritage right from the very beginning. Huh? We have lost it. Why do I say this? And it's not because, you know, I have done spiritual counseling, not because of that, but because, see, earlier, especially for women, you know, they were allowed to talk to only two kind of males outside their families, their father, brothers is there, but there, and no one else in the family, they were restricted. And later on, after they got married, it would be their husbands and their families. I mean, only in the family, and anything else was frowned upon. But there was one person, one male contact, you know, that they could have contact with from the time that they were born till the time they died. That was the guru, the guide. So they were allowed to have this outside counsel who was not involved in their regular day-to-day matters and their financial state or any kind of issues. They could go there for their lifeline, to be understood, to be taught, to pick up skills. Now, slowly, slowly, we lost that. The whole system, the lineage of having a guru went out of fashion. Then there was joint family system. That went out of fashion. Then there was nuclear family. And now we have single parents. So you know, we need to understand where for decision making you need support from different kind of people at different point of life. When you're a child, yes, you need your parents more. When you're a teenager, you need more stimulation, you need to figure out, you want to listen to more people. Then when you are grown up, then you need to understand whether you are making the right consequences of the action that you are taking. So at every point of life, we need some kind of a counseling support. I mean, to be understood and to be validated, whether we are making the right points, whether we have thought through everything correctly, right? So if we want to make the correct decision, we need to be in a space where we have thought through the consequences of all our actions after considering all the choices on the table. So if we are really stressed and if we are worried, whether it is about our career, whether it is about our partners, whether it is about academics, we have to understand what are the different choices on the table and then consequences of each choices. So career, definitely career is important, but also I think Indian society, they are very good at livelihood skills, you know, go to school, go to college, get a job, buy a car, get a house, get married, you know, it's all mapped perfectly. But the life skills, how to talk, how to communicate so that you can hear yourself and others, how to make decisions, how to solve conflicts, what are the interpersonal skills, intrapersonal skills, conflict resolution, we are far away from gold standard there. So why just career choices? For any choices, I think teenagers have to give themselves the permission to be able to look at all the options that is available. And this may not be, and for them basically to understand that school is not the last point of choice making. Huh? If you have not chosen between engineering and medical, there are lots of other careers. So you don't, if you have to take science, humanities or commerce, and what if you are interested in something like art history? You know,
Right.
so I have children who have gone into thinking that they're going to be maths majors. You know, they're going to do maths, but there they have attended a history lecture and then they realized no, they're not interested in that. They're interested in art history and now they want to be curators somewhere else. So to understand that the world that you are growing in now offers careers in multiple fields. Amazing, amazing fields and technology. They can please use the technology which is available to explore that, right? So there are now apps available where you have talks recorded by different professionals, living professionals in different fields, not only IPS, IAS and medical doctors, but even like chefs and pole dancing to, you know, sky gazing to different kind of professions which are now available. And what does it mean? Like, what kind of education would you need to do? What kind of skills do you need to pick up? What are the advantages of the careers? What are disadvantages? And what does a day look like in their career? So if they can get access to this kind of information which now exists and choose something and go ahead with it, and also realize that you can reshuffle your career at any point of time, you know. I started with corporate banking and now I'm a coach. It is possible to realign anytime you wish to. We all have this power of choice to change our mind. But whatever we do, if we are willing to work hard and give it what it takes, there's no reason why you can't have it at any point of time.
You also talked about that we set up these maps that go get a house, buy a car or something like that. But nobody talks us about how do we actually communicate with others? What are the interpersonal skills that teenagers require? And I think it's very important for a teenager to begin it from their teenage life than starting like at 25 or 30 or even beyond that. So how do you guide teenagers in developing these interpersonal skills?
So I also consult for a residential school. They got me and for the last 6-7 years now I have been going there. And it's very interesting to see how quickly they respond. You know, I'm spoiled by talking to teenagers because, you know, they'll be done. You want to solve a problem, 2 sessions, they are done. And then they'll be like, can you talk to my mom? And can you talk to my dad? You know, like their problem is sorted. And the other people need help. But for teenagers, if we can, as a support system, if we can teach them first that self-care, what is self-care? Self-care comes from understanding that you need to have 4 things in order: your nutrition, hydration, your sleep, and exercise. 4 things. Basic. If you don't have it, sorry, you don't have the energy to solve anything else in your life. So if you are not eating well, if you are not drinking water, you know, I cannot stress enough about drinking water, because half the problems happen because we don't have enough fluids in our body. I will come back to it if we have the time. And then there is sleep. You don't sleep well, sorry, your brain doesn't have in the right zone to make the right waves for you to, you know, make the right choices. And exercise. I don't know, I can write a book on why exercise is needed, because if you don't exercise, you don't have access to natural ways of producing the right hormones to feel good. Adrenaline, serotonin. You don't have it. And then you want to fix it quickly through other things, you know, other things which can become addictive, whether it is watching Netflix and Amazon Prime, or whether it's playing video games, or whether it is going on social media every 2 minutes to check which reel is there, or, you know, how many likes you have got, whether it is smoking, whether it is sex, whether it is drinking, anything which is repetitive, and they will give pleasure. Overeating, that's another thing. Overeating in teenage, because you want to feel good, immediately you'll want to eat something. And that's immediate rush of dopamine, right?
Instant gratification.
That was right. That instant gratification, but then it does not last. You know, you get into one relationship and by the honeymoon period is there. Oh, great, I'm dating, I'm doing this. This friend is dating, that friend is dating, I'm also dating. And then you realize, no, Dating high goes immediately after 2 weeks when you don't communicate, you don't have your communication in place, you don't have this whole sense of patience that anything good takes time to build over a period of time. You have to work through conflicts for that, and it can be done. So not to look for short-term fixes, we need to have energy for long-term haul. And that energy comes through those four things: your nutrition, hydration, sleep, and exercise. And if you don't have that, I'm sorry, we need to go back and fix it. Like, not only for teenagers, for adults, for everybody.
For everyone, yeah.
Yeah. And once you have the energy, then comes your environment. You know, once you have this energy, then comes on who are your friends. Because after all, we are all, there's enough research to say that we are average of five people that we are speaking to at any point of time. So who are the people? Have you chosen your friends wisely? Are they adding value to you? Are you adding value to them? So what are you talking about? Are you with people who are motivated because their energy is going to rub off on you? Are you motivating for others? So your social environment, we are biopsychosocial beings, right? So it's not only our genetics and our makeup, but it's also the environment that makes all the difference. So for them to be able to make the right choices, they would also have to choose the right friends and the right adults to listen to, because we have too much information and too many people, and in this choice, or you know, in this period of internet, I mean, what do we not have access for? So who do you stop listening to? That is my another thing. You know, I have a 17-year-old boy who came to me ago, you know, with anxiety issues. And then I realized that this boy is actually acting out the dysfunction in between his parents. You know, it's very classical what a psychologist called triangulation. Parents have a problem, they focus on the children, and they'll come and hand them over. Hey, fix the child and give them back to me. Doesn't work, right? So then I realized that this is not just anxiety. It is also overstimulated brain, a 16-year-old, this was 16 then, brain which escapes in this world of YouTubes. They are just, and it's, I said, what kind of YouTubes do you watch? And he watches anything from cooking to stargazing to some animal pet shows. And it's not that he is watching only movies or any such things, you know. It's just something to just distract him. Just something to distract. So that part, you know. If we can choose well for the time that we have, that is the key, the power of choice. So any self-harming habit can be done away with if we have the energy for it.
Like you said that there are a lot of career choices, and you started right from corporate banking to now that you're a coach. But if someone, a teenager who's watching our show would want to pursue in psychology, so how do you think, is it like a good option in the relevant times now as a career, and or even for the upcoming generation? And if they'd want to, how do they even go about pursuing it?
So I think anybody can pursue anything at your generation is in a lovely, lovely time. You want to learn, it's the world is your oyster. You can choose from wherever you want. But especially in field of psychology, because you have asked me, I started late, right? I started, this is my second avatar, so I had to go back and do my master's in psychology. But psychology is now offered as a choice from class 11 under CBSE. You can choose that, and you can pursue it in college, whether you want to do a, you know, a undergrad degree in it or a grad degree in it, and go ahead. But psychology can be now clubbed with even science subjects in liberal arts and science colleges. So now we don't only have traditional colleges where you have only one course of one kind left with you, but you have liberal arts and science colleges in India like Ashoka, Azim Premji University, Jindal, Flame. So these are the different Kriya, new age colleges, which have been there for a decade now. They're over 10 years old, not so new also, who offer you the combination of whatever you want. So you can do a major in psychology with a minor in biology. And look at what it can open up for you. Not only just research, but in the field of biochemistry, if you want to join in and, you know, develop some kind of a product which can measure sleep, if you're interested in something like that. So, it can also be a combination of with different gaming, you know, lots of people. In fact, there was a whole article about it, how game developers in Silicon Valley have used psychologists to sit down and choose what can make it more interesting and addictive for people. So psychology is a field which will find entrance everywhere in HR, if you come with psychology in not only in counseling, I'm forgetting counseling. Counseling is the easiest thing, I'm leaving that. But also in people management, event management, in whatever it is that you are interested in terms of doing. In fact, I have someone who's doing majoring in chemistry and minoring in psychology because they want to do, they want to lead, manage the research team in some university abroad. So just for wherever people management come in, psychology plays a bigger role. And you need not pursue psychology as the only career. It can be one of the subjects among the other things that you are doing. In fact, this generation which is growing up, I don't think one college degree is going to cut it anymore. You will have to keep reinventing yourself again and again because AI is coming and they are going to make a lot of regular things redundant. So you better be ready to learn and relearn and upskill at any point of life. So I think psychology is one of the basic sciences that we can learn because it just helps us to know ourselves better. And then we can be more available and more helpful for others around us.
You are a life coach and you are an author as well. So what kind of articles or books do you write? And do you have any upcoming plans regarding your new books or any new projects as such, which you can reveal, obviously?
No. There's nothing not revealing. I think I'm in a space where I have 100% transparency. So no, I haven't... I haven't written much. I haven't thought of publishing myself again, but I do write blogs. And this also happened because my clients started asking me, you know, why don't you share the experiences that you have so that other people can read and they can be encouraged to join. So I have a blog that you mentioned before, no? Live in Love and Light. It's on WordPress. And I had thought I will be able to write at least about one person's journey in counseling with me, one every month. But I haven't been able to do that because I've just been too busy because it takes time. I have to make sure that the person is comfortable. And they all, I'm so surprised that all my clients, you can happily blog about, you can use my name. But I can't do that. So I change their names to keep their identity, unrevealed from my end. They can talk about it, but you know, counseling is a process which is completely confidential. That means I cannot reveal anything that's said in the session, but with their permission, I'm able to share their journey with others in the blog. So I hope to blog more. I hope to be more motivated now that you are asking me and you're calling me. Maybe I'll do that, you know, write a whole board of blogs. And because somebody read it and they said that, you know, once you have a dozen of this, we would like to publish you. That's so amazing. I think I have about 6 or 7 so far, but let's see. Let's see what I want to do. But I find it more more productive, more useful if I can actually handhold a person from point A to point B towards more clarity. And that is possible in one-on-one sessions. Whether I write or whether, I mean, that writing becomes, yes, if people benefit from it, yes, it is useful. But when I have done scripture studies with Swami Chinmayananda's direct disciple, Swami Haridas Ji. At the end of 4 years, when I was, you were very happy to attend his classes and talk about Vedanta and Advaita. So he says, yes, enough, ho gaya theory, now go back and start practicing. go to ground and start working. All this is fine, intellectual work is great, but where is service hona chahiye? Let the bell rag. Oh, service भी करना पड़ेगा. Okay, so hence this whole foray into coaching that if I offer it as a service. So if I have that 1 hour where I can sit down and help someone through their own personal dilemma, I am doing the service. So,
I really wish that you write more and more of your blogs, and I am really intrigued with that idea, whole idea of writing a person's journey, and then you compiling all of those into a book. And I would want to review that book someday if I get a
oh,
chance
I would
from
love it. I mean, so if I'm ever going to publish, I'm going to send it to you for reviewing, you know, so you can do it. Yes.
that. Thank you. Just a parting message for our listeners. So, what would you want to say for the listeners, for the teenagers listening to our show and the parents listening?
So, different messages. For teenagers, the message is that, hey, you can have a great time with a little bit more of self-awareness. So whatever helps in that journey is worth it, you know. Fix those basic four markers, please: nutrition, hydration, sleep, exercise, and surround yourself with people who, I can't quote this better than Rumi, who fuel your fire. You know, you have to surround yourself with people who actually excite you, who are engaged with life, who really want to have fun, including reaching their own peak performance. And when you look for it, the answers also find you. So there's enough and more options available to make the right career, to find right people, to get the mentors, but you have to be willing to put in that effort needed to find the clarity, because no one else can be happy for you. Your job is to be happy, because no one else can be happy for you. So your job is to figure out what will make you happy, and then share that happiness with others. You know, that's for the teenagers. And for parents, I think that because of the pandemic that we have all gone through, they need to look at their own self-care parameters. If they are at a good place, then they can expect their teenagers and everyone around them to be in a good place, you know, because communication is so much more non-verbal that even if you don't say, your moods are picked up by others and people. So, and to be aware of what is happening around you, you have to have that high energy. So work on your personal energy, personal clarity. Know that there can be nothing that will go wrong if you are able to put in the effort to love correctly. You know, set firm limits and correct people lovingly. Teach the importance of consequences versus punishment. And note when there are changes in your children, please note that, you know, if suddenly your child starts talking negatively, is the child low energy? Are there changes in sleep patterns, eating patterns? Are they doing poorly at school? Are they pulling away from friends and staying more on media or just by themselves? Are there any other risky and harmful behaviors? Because harmful behavior, because children, when they don't know how to solve problems, because the brains are confused, they are at that time of when there's a hormonal rush, physical changes are happening in the body, they do not know how to cope, and it's very easy for them to self-harm. But the pointers are there right from a lot early. It's not suddenly that a child will get into a place where they will think of harming themselves. There are pointers. So these are the pointers that we can, if we are aware. So I can't stress more on a little bit of family time every day. If you can just meet once over the meal and know, you know, just look at each other and eat together. So just share that space of bonding and renew that bond every single day that, hey, we are there for you. If you have any problem, you can come and talk to us. And there are enough and more, you know, counselors available and people available. And if they require help, not to hesitate and reach out for mental health professionals, because sometimes children don't want to talk to parents. They want to talk to some other person.
Others,
And if we can give them a safe environment to talk to them, you know, we are really doing them a big, big favor.
Thank you, Janaki, for taking time on this day. That's especially Krishna Janmashtami day. And I think this was much needed, not just for the listeners, but also for me as well. I mean, I'm really intrigued and really moved by whatever you have said, and the four things that will be literally etched in my brain forever. And it's
Yeah,
really
you'll keep
high
it off.
tech. Nutrition, hydration, sleep, and exercise. And I think it's high time for me and everyone to rectify that, to just have that state of zone where we are comfortable with others and we radiate happiness, and it just alters
And have the
everyone around.
energy
Yeah. Have the
and to
energy to do
choose
things.
well for yourself.
Right. I think it's been a wonderful episode and a great time talking to you. And
Thank
I
you
hope to
so
see you
much for
again. I hope you had a
Thank you
great
so much
time.
for having me back. Thank you.